I know some of you, I see some people that I don't recognize, so I sure want to welcome you all. Maybe you know me, but I sure welcome you, and it's great to see you all here. And we're very encouraged and happy to see you come. If anyone this morning would like to give to Spirit Ablaze or to Low Ron Quest, just designate to put it in the offering box. Otherwise, I imagine the other would probably go to the church. But if you designate to Low or Spirit Ablaze, and he could, it'd be very appreciated. And the doors are opening for him. He's been asked to go in February into the States. We're very excited about that. And possibly, it looks like India in November again to follow up with where you've started there. So definitely, he's a very busy man, and but God is using him. And so, amen. So this morning, I want to share a message to you that's going to be a little different maybe, but yet something that's God, I think, has laid on my heart this summer. It seems like when I speak, and I always seem to come back to this. So I know that God is going to move me out of this, and I'm saying, Lord, where do you want me to speak in the future? But it just seemed like this summer was a word that God just had me speak this. And even as they led the songs, so many of them lined up so much to, I think, the content of what's on my heart, and I believe what's in the Word. So I trust that you'll see the Word and that the Word brings truth. I know we can read a passage many times, and all of a sudden, God can bring it to life. And we're not changing it, we're not manipulating it, but the Spirit of God can all of a sudden reveal to us. And it can just open up in a way that we haven't seen before. So, and we need that. We need fresh revelation, not manipulation, but we need a fresh relation. Even with our spouses, with our friends, we need fresh relation, fresh intimacy, fresh communication. Otherwise, it becomes old. Yeah. And we can sometimes get accustomed to coming and be a part of our routine. And it's a good routine to come to church. It's a good custom to have. But it could also become stale without seeing things fresh sometimes. And you know, sometimes we have to plow and go along, and maybe we don't see a lot. But once in a while, we need to say, God, you got to show me something fresh. I can't just keep living on yesterday's understanding. So even what I'm going to share to you, I know I can't continue to speak this, God. I have to have something fresh. But I know that this is also fresh this morning. Is there children that would like to go to, is there release? Are they gone? Okay. I'm not very polished on those things, so yeah. And I trust I never will be on that aspect. But thanks, Jules. Yeah. And I really appreciated you guys and your worship and your heart, and thanks. Yeah. Don't you, right, church? That was an honor. Yeah. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. And I think we've heard a lot of it. We've heard parts of this. But I think God's going to bring something new today. He brought something new to me. So if you're already there, I say it's amazing. And not that I have to be ahead of you. That's not what I mean. But he brought something new to me, and I trust it'll be something fresh for you. I'm going to read a little bit more than I normally have. We're going to read chapter 47. I think we're going to read 1 to... One to 11. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faced east. And there was water running out on the right side. And I think a lot of us will know this, what I'm going to read next, but we're going to read it anyways. And when, verse 3, and when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, He measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and it came up to my waist. So we're going deeper. And I think we've heard messages on this, and I'm not here to change that message. And again he measured 1,000 and a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. But let's keep reading. Then he said, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there, along the bank of the river, were many trees on one side and the other. Then the Lord said, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes into the valley and enters the sea. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from Engedi to, help me say this name, that word. And there will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. And we could continue reading in this passage. And we've heard of this passage a lot. Many times we've heard this passage. And I was thinking about, we sing a song, and my kids were just at Riverside Bible Camp. And the theme song they sang is, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. And we love to sing that. We've sung that for years. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opened prison doors and set the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. And we want to look at that. And it's a kid's song, and we sing that, and it's a great song. And I think sometimes we can sing that song without understanding of what it says. In John 7:37-39, I want to show you a few scriptures to where I'm wanting to see with this. I love it how they put it on the board. Thanks, Alicia. It keeps us all together, hey? Yeah, it's good. I don't want to be making stuff up. So Jesus cried out on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. So we sing about Jesus, we sing about thirsty. Jesus told the woman at the well that he has living water. You know, she was coming for natural water. And Jesus told her, I've got living water that you know nothing about. I think of other places in the Bible where Jesus talks about coming to him for living water. Jesus is living water. And here Jesus says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And as we come here this morning, many of us have come because we're thirsty. You know, we come to church for different reasons, but many of us come because we're thirsty. We're thirsty to have a touch of God. We're thirsty to just encounter God. We're thirsty to be in a fellowship of believers that just will build us up and encourage us outside of what we sometimes might see in our daily life. There's a place of coming together to thirst. And then Jesus said, he who believes in me, as the scriptures has said. And I think we can't forget about this. As the scriptures has said, we believe in Jesus many different ways. But if we believe in Jesus as the scriptures have told us, it says, out of our hearts, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of my heart will flow rivers of living water. And then it says, but he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus was talking to his disciples and to the crowds about something they never had access to yet. They got to be around the rivers of life. They got to be around that overflowing brook of water that brought refreshment and life wherever they went. But they never really got to have it yet because the Spirit had not yet been given out. That happened in Acts. And then it can happen in our lives when God touches us and we encounter God in a way that we see in Acts. Sometimes we try to have the rivers of God without the filling of the Spirit, and we find ourselves in works, and we find ourselves in programs and all kinds of efforts, desiring to see the things of God, but yet we're finding ourselves struggling in effort because that river of God has not been released in our life. But he wants to give it to us. It isn't something that we have to be the right guy, the right person to receive it. It is just a person that says, Lord, I need that river of life. The Lord wants to give it. We need to put ourselves aside and say, I need Jesus. It's not my works, it's Jesus. It's not what I can accomplish, it's Jesus. It's not my message, it's his. It's not how much I know, it's how much he knows. It's not how well I speak, but it's how good Jesus speaks. It's all about him. And then we can enter his river because he enters into our hearts. So when Jesus Christ enters into my heart, not just the salvation message, which is the beginning part of being redeemed and forgiven, then the Spirit of God will come in to allow the river to flow out of us and not just to come inside of us. Yeah. Even to speak to you, it is such an honor. It is overwhelming. I say, Lord, what am I doing here? Why have you given me this? But I realize, but Lord, it's not really me, it's you. But yet I had to step in and take it. So it is like a merging. But it isn't for ourselves, but it is for Jesus. He'll give it to us so we can give it back to him. It is like this morning. Lo should be ministering, but he give it to me. That's what Jesus does. He gives us his life so we can give it out. We can give it out. And when it says, out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. Rivers. I don't know, but sometimes in the spring our rivers get bigger. The Peace River isn't real fair because there's a dam and it kind of regulates the flow. But the creeks and the streams, they really rise up in the spring. They get full and then now they kind of dwindle right down. And I believe that when we looked in Ezekiel and about walking deeper in the water, as we submit our lives to Jesus, as we give up our life to take his, as we drink from him and we're willing to go in, then that river that'll flow out of us can enlarge. God is God. God can't enlarge. God is almighty. You can't have more of God, but we can enlarge the capacity of our heart to let more of God come out to those around us. I mean, God is God. He's not, we don't piece him up and cut him into pieces. But in our life, we can sometimes put him into a small channel. And maybe we see a small trickle come out of us. And any trickle that starts to flow out of us is a good thing. That is a very good thing. It's not despise the day of small beginnings. when we see the trickle start to flow out of our life, man, we share it to hold somebody. You know, I'm a believer in that Jesus. Man, Jesus watches over me and he helps me. And we just tell somebody. We tell somebody that Jesus loves you. We say something is small, but we know it was bigger than ourselves because it was us stepping into who Jesus is. It is allowing that river to start to flow out of us. For us to acknowledge the love of God, to be a part of the worship this morning, to be able to drink from the river and not really want to tell anybody or to go out in faith and to reveal Jesus, we're damming up the river. Because God loves all people, and God would have saved the whole world. It's God's heart that the world is saved. I read that in the Bible. It is God's heart that my heart be totally set free, full of the Lord, full of freedom and joy and peace and love. That is God's heart for me. But I have to be able to take that and to believe that and to allow it to flow through me. And then we just kind of become a person that we see our lives, but it's not really about us anymore. Because when the river of God flows through us, we just become a vessel. And there was God, and the flowing out is God. And we are the means and a tool and a use and the hands and the feet. But it becomes not really about us anymore, but it's all about God. But if we say, well, I'm not really worthy, it becomes about us. Or I'm scared, and we'll probably be a little bit scared because the devil would have us think that all kinds of things. But when we step in to the calling of God on our life, no matter what it feels like stepping in, you realize this is God. This is God. It's not about God scaring the heck out of us. As Lois shared a lot, God doesn't take us out of our comfort zone, really, if our heart is with God. He will allow us to step into what God has made us, and we won't have to fear it. We can have things in our heart that we desire to do. And sometimes maybe we can fear it because we don't know we're adequate or we feel many things. But it's the desire that God has put in our heart. And God will allow us to step into that realm. And all of a sudden, there'll be such a welling up within your heart. You just want to sing and you get excited. It just brings life. And all of a sudden, you see why the Bible talks about a river of life. Because you just start to feel it yourself. But you realize it's not about you, it's about God. But people on earth might see you so you can point them to God, because how are they going to see God? So we can't be scared to let people see us, but it's not about us, it's about God. And we can direct them. We can bring them life. John 6:57. I seen that this morning or last night, and we'll just look at that. It'll be John 6:57. There it is. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. This is Jesus speaking. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. When we come and drink, we're like feeding. This word is living water. When we just feed on this, when we just, our hearts are before God, and we just get hungry for the things of God. And we feed on him. So that we can then now have something in our hearts to flow out of us. It is just, I get so amazed that God not just wants, but he needs to flow through us as human beings. Last night it was shared about God needs a legal entrance into the world. Jesus came through natural birth as legal entrance into the world. And now for God to function on earth, we now become the legal entrance for God to function on earth. God speaks in visions and he gives people things. But if God chooses to speak that way, that is God. But what I read in the Bible is if I'm concerned about my neighbor, and if I have a heart for a people, and if I love God, I'm going to have a heart for people. And it's not up to God to go and do that. I now become the means, because the river of God has to flow through my heart so I can reach others. And then you see it. You just see God do it. You just see it. And I'm so amazed. And outside of that, we're stuck. We can get very, very stuck in church, you know. We can be very, very stuck. We can. It's very possible. But that isn't what God had for us. That's not what God has for us. Church is an amazing place to come and be just part of the worship and hear the word and to hear someone's revelation on the word and just to be inspired. But real church got to be outside of these doors. It's got to be. It's got to be. This is very important. But where the rubber meets the road is outside in the world. When we work, our jobs, our people around us, when we go shopping, not to get all preachy, but man, we have life to flow. We just can hug people. We can speak to them. We don't even have to always preach Jesus, but it'll come up when we love them. And you'll just see the doors will open. And many times God will open the door and you'll be amazed and astonished. But because the door opened because it came from within your heart. And that river came. We're different. We're different. We're not like the world. We're a new creation. We're a brand new being. We're completely transformed. But my mind has to believe it. My mind has to believe it. Lord, let's go to Revelation 22. I think when I started seeing this, we were in a little community hall east of Peace River on the other side of the river in the springtime. And they had a banner on the wall, and the ministry was called River of Life Ministry. And I seen that, and it just seemed like since then I've just started speaking on that. And God, you know, Annalise was here, and she has a take on Revelation that I'm still chewing through, but much of our understanding can shake us, and that a lot of Revelation has been completed. And I think there's a lot of truth there. I don't want to preach all that. I have much to learn and to understand there. But, man, when you read verse 22, tell me that it doesn't line up with the other scriptures that I shared. Tell me that it doesn't reveal what Jesus was trying to do. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. There it is. It is a pure river of water. It isn't the Peace River or in the spring runoff when it's all the runoff from all the farmland and it's murky and you put your hand in 2 inches and you can't already see your hand. You know, you go into the mountain parks, and if you've ever gone into those water streams, it is clear. One time as a young guy, I got to go swimming and cliff jumping in Jasper area. And you could see the bottom of the river, it was kind of a river or a lake. And you could see the bottom, and here it was 30 or 40 feet deep there. But you could see the bottom, and you could even see a tree in the water halfway down. And it looked very scary to jump because you could see this in the water. But the other people that were there said, no, 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 it's very deep, very deep. And clear water, clear. Jesus Christ is a clear water. It's not murky. It's not muddy. It's clear. It's crystal clear and pure. He showed me a river of water of life. It brings life. The life of Jesus, this that I'm speaking of, brings life. Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Let's even read a few verses, and I won't even speak on them, but let God reveal. In the middle of the streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. We read that in Ezekiel 47. And there shall be no more curse. I don't believe I'm cursed, guys. I'm not cursed. That doesn't mean nothing goes wrong. But man, I'm not cursed. I'm not cursed. But I have to believe that by faith. Man, nothing I touch is cursed. That doesn't mean nothing will break down or anything else. But I'm not cursed. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Doesn't it say in 1 Corinthians that the temple of God is within us? Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say that? And his servants shall serve him. Man, aren't we not servants? And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Boy, I hope God's name is on my forehead. We might talk about the mark of the beast and all that stuff, and we get so concerned about that and that name getting written on our forehead. But isn't God's name on our foreheads? Man, I think the world knows us as God's name on our foreheads. And if he doesn't, he can, and he will. He will. Man, God's name is on my forehead. And I trust that it'll get more bold and more strong and more imprinted and more deeply ingrained. But it's there. And if it's not there, Lord, put it there. Lord, put your name on my forehead. Lord, put your name on my forehead. In heaven, and I'm not taking away heaven, and I'm not trying to change things, but in heaven, we don't have, in heaven, all of our names are going to be on our, like God's names are going to be all on all of our foreheads. We don't have to wonder if we're in heaven. Yeah, for sure, it's there. Why would we wouldn't even have to see it because we're there. Oh, man, I believe God's name is on my forehead. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. We do that? We're all, Lord Jesus, Lord, let the river of life just come out this morning. 17 verse 7, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. We prayed yesterday that it wouldn't rain anymore, and we're going to get our harvest off. There's no problems. But man, my trust is in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes. So stuff might come, but that doesn't matter. We don't look at that. We don't focus on circumstances. But its leaf will be green. That's talking about us, man. We will be green. We won't be anxious in the year of drought. Lord, help us not to be anxious. Nor will we cease from yielding fruit. Lord. And it repeats the same thing in Psalms chapter 1. We won't read that now, but in Psalms chapter 1, it repeats the same stuff. We're like to be a tree planted by the water, but we're also to be like that river. Now let's go to Ezekiel again and let's look a little closer. Let's just look at this. I don't want to take this word out of context. I don't want to just have it say what I want it to say. But I believe that the Lord God has brought us to this place. Verse 1, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he is the door. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I'm the door. It says it twice. I am the door of the temple. And in 1 Corinthians, God says the temple of God now dwells within us. So, when we go back to Jesus, when we look at Jesus, man, then the temple of God dwells within me. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple. Where's this water going to flow from? It's going to flow from me. From our hearts. In John chapter 7, 38, it says from our hearts the water river will flow. There's a reason Jesus said John 7, 37 to 39. He didn't just say it in coincidence. There talks about a river. Jesus didn't just say, oh, I see a river and start talking about a river. He knew what it said in Ezekiel. Jesus knew. Jesus knew about Ezekiel. He knew what John was going to experience and the revelation John was going to have in Revelation. Jesus knew. He didn't say there would be different kinds of rivers. Man, the river of God can flow from within our hearts. And as, of course, we read about going deeper, and that's a Christian walk. Lord, take me closer. Man, I worship you. I give you my life. You know, when we understand going deeper. And verse 9, it says, "And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live." Lord Jesus, everywhere I go, let there be life. Man, let there be life. If I go to an auction sale, let there be life around those who are around me. If I am working, cooking in a camp, or if I am maybe housekeeping or anything that I am doing, I'm running a store, man, there can be life. Everywhere I go, there'll be life. Have a relation with Jesus. But it's not blaming Jesus why we didn't see the life. Man, we have to take hold of it. We sometimes say, "Jesus, I love you and I serve you, but for some reason I don't see it." Man, because we have to take it. God has given it to us to flow from within our hearts. It's not arrogance, it's not proud, it's not twisted. The river, the life of Jesus Christ can flow out of us, can flow. And it does flow. It's not good, it does. It does. It does. And all of a sudden, Christianity completely gets turned on its head with what you've understood. Amen? Amen. It is the place to be. It is the life that people are looking for. It is the very life, the very substance that mankind is searching for. People are looking for it everywhere. People are lost. And when all of a sudden they encounter the river, the life of God that flows within us, it just brings life to people. It's not, we can't blame God if we don't see it. We get on our knees and say, "God, let me walk in this river. Lord, even if it's a trickle, let me start to let the river of God flow through me." And if our heart is there, God is smiling. He is there for you. And He will open that up. He will open it. And the fish, Jesus said He will make us fishers of men. So He just, it's all combined. "Because these waters go, for they will be healed, and everything that will live wherever the river goes." Amen. And it even goes in there, with verse 10, "It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from Engedi to that other word. And they, which is the NIV says there, so I think New King James messed up. And there, where am I? "And there will be places for spreading the nets." Jesus sent out the disciples and they fished and they spread their nets. And what happened when they listened to God and they spread their nets? They were full. They're full. And if our nets aren't full, we've got to hear God's heart, hear God's voice, and the nets will start to become full. And if they're not full, we can't just simply drop our nets and wonder why there's no fish. It's God's desire the net is full. He did it in, as I shared Friday night, it's God's desire that the net is full. Because whenever the disciples fished all night and caught nothing, the next day when there was a word spoke, Jesus said, "Throw your net on the other side," and the net was full. It wasn't, Jesus knew, it wasn't good enough to fish all night and not catch. But we will catch. We will catch. You will catch. You will catch when you let the river of God flow through you for the calling of God that He has put upon you. But then verse 11 is a warning. It's a warning. If you don't like what I'm saying, this is a warning. "But its swamps and marshes will not be healed." they will be given over to salt. A swamp is a place where the water flows in and collects, but it doesn't flow out. As a farmer, we try to drain those so we can farm more land. And sometimes in our life, for many reasons, we can allow the Word of God, our life, to become a swamp. Sometimes we feel that we're not worthy. Sometimes it's a very good meaning in our hearts. Maybe you've had some tough times. You've looked at your circumstances. You know, it just feels like things have been challenging for you. We can be in church every Sunday. We can be drinking from the river of God. But if we don't allow God to flow out of our hearts to those around us, I see that as a definition of a swamp. In the springtime, in our farm, if you have an area where the water comes in but it can't go out, it's a swamp. So we can be the most spiritual-looking people, and sometimes we could be the most in danger of becoming swamps. So looking for the next touch of God, but keeping it inside and not letting it go forth. Not letting it go forth. Because if we are believers, if we are Christians, then we are, Christian refers to Christ-like one. If we're a Christian, we're called to walk like Jesus. And where Jesus went, there he brought life. Read it in the Gospels. Everywhere he went, crazy stuff happened. And so in our worlds, that was Jesus' world. In our world, whatever you do, we'll just let forth Jesus. Man, for me, I was so scared so many years to let forth Jesus out of my life. I remember as a young guy going to a vineyard retreat in Slave Lake, and boy, oh boy, God touched me there. I was 20 or 21. The pastor then, Don, was, he could hold a pencil in his chin or something. Brian Lear. His job, his interview to be for a pastor from the church, he could hold a pencil in his lip, and he could show us he could do different, you know, like we're just being friendly, and I just remember that. So, yeah, we can all have unique things we can do. And we went to Slave Lake to a vineyard retreat, and man, the Lord spoke to me and touched my life. People prophesied over me, and it was a little bit overwhelming, and yet I wasn't ready at that time to let the river of God flow through me. So I became a swamp. You know, I was active in the church and I was doing things and everything. But outside of the church, I really was a swamp. And the Lord became distant to me. It was hard for me to read the Word. I knew what the Holy Spirit was, but he became foreign to me. I was very much involved in the church. But without allowing the river of God to flow out of us, we find ourselves in a swamp. And then we will become like a person that needs another touch of God. And we maybe become like this, or many things will come to our life. And if you're there, that's what Jesus is for. He's there to help us to get out of that. But, so I was there for a long time. For a long time, I just didn't know what to do. I was so trapped. But yet, it was so simple. But I didn't want to let the river flow out of me. I loved God. I believed I loved God. But loving God means we need to allow the river of God to flow through us. Reinhard Bonnke, he talks about the Holy Spirit like a ship and a rudder. And he says that you can have a big ship and there's quite a small rudder at the back of the ship. And when the ship is in port, parked, somebody can sit there and turn on the wheel back and forth. You can turn the rudder any which direction, and nothing is going to happen. There's no movement going to happen in that ship. It's going to sit there. And when we say, okay, Lord, help me show you to people. Help me move. Help me move in my Christian life. Whatever it is, Lord, take me out of my box, out of my understanding, out of my protection so people don't look at me funny. Let me move a little bit, Lord. Let me start to move. And as soon as we get any kind of movement at all, the rudder can start moving that ship. We don't have to be flying. We don't have to be going full speed. Any kind of movement, and that rudder will start directing. And he talks about the Holy Spirit that way. We need to move in our life so the Holy Spirit can bring guidance. And if we wait for the Holy Spirit to always speak to us first, we always wait and say, Lord, I would speak to my neighbor if you tell me. And we always are just waiting and waiting. We become the ship, and the Holy Spirit can be speaking crazy to us, but we won't hear it because we're not moving. And it can't bring direction. We wonder why the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us. I just love that analogy. And all of a sudden, you start to see things happen in your life that could only be God. Just a life and a peace comes upon your life that could only be God. Amen? So, this morning, I would like to be able to open it to, if anyone is saying, Lord, I've stifled that river of God in my life. I've wanted God. I've maybe wanted God to intervene for my circumstances. I've wanted God to intervene with my family and my children or my finances, my soul for eternity. I've wanted God to intervene in my life. But I've never wanted you to really flow. I've never said, Lord, let your river flow through me. Man, we would just love to have you just calmer. We just like to open that. There's a time and a place of decision that just says, Lord, I realize that I have blocked the river of God from flowing through me. Maybe we've just been a little bit careful on our words so we weren't too vocal about our understanding and our belief in Jesus. Somebody might look down on us or might criticize us, or we really don't want to go down that path, so we just kind of lived a little bit of a closed, reserved life. We've just wanted to hang on to ourselves. We've wanted God. That's why we're here. We've wanted God. We want salvation. We want forgiveness of sin. We want those things. But yet, at the same token, we've wanted to hold on to ourselves and not let the river of God to flow through us. Oh, we would just like to help you this morning. So if you guys could sing another song, we would love that. And we would pray for you, but it's not a matter of us praying for you. If you want us to specifically pray for something in your bodies or for yourself, just come and stand before me or Lo or somebody that you would trust. But otherwise, I would encourage you just to make a stand and just to, if you feel in your heart that this is what you should do, and God will honor you in this, God will see it. God will see your step of faith. And we just want to see the river. So if you just stand up, if we just all rise as they lead us, and I believe the Lord wants to release something amazing into your life. It's not a matter of, it's the Word of God. The Lord wants to release something in our lives today, individually. I believe the Lord would like to do it as a church, as a people. I believe the Lord would like to release such a river of God within our community. within our community. And it won't even be the efforts of the board or of any particular person. It's just the people of the church that just see such a river flowing through their lives that it can't be accredited to a man, to an institution, to anything of that nature. So the river of God, it does dwell within a church setting, but man, we have to take hold of it for ourselves. For ourselves. Amen.